It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show, and I am Kim Munson, and we're going to have some important conversations today. It is a Monday morning. Steve, how are you doing this morning?
72 hours later from Friday morning, I am doing well.
Well, we have got another week here. Tomorrow is Election Day. It is too late to mail your ballots. You need to drop them off at an official collection site. And be sure and vote. Go to my website, Kim Munson, that's spelled MONSON.com, so that you can see my recommendations on No on CC and No on DD. And Steve, what I did with that is I really went through that and tried to look at it from the principal standpoint, and also look at it as a government, responsible, limited, staying within their box, and keeping their hands out of everyday hardworking people's pockets. And so that is why I'm a no on CC and no on DD.
I guess I was naughty. I found a good meme on Facebook, where else? It showed the Trojan horse being let in, and you know the taxpayers were welcoming the Trojan horse in. And I think the original meme was for healthcare related things, but I kind of repurposed it for CC as well, so, and posted it. So I'm guilty.
Guilty as charged, huh? Well, you can go to my website now, you know, and I think many of us that have been paying attention, it's like we're kind of election fatigue. But interestingly enough, there are people that are just starting to think about, hey, I need to vote tomorrow. And so it is important that we stay on this for another almost 48 hours here and make sure that there's those in our families and our friends that have not voted yet. And you can go to my website and check out that voter's guide. And if you have any issue that starts with without raising taxes or without raising additional taxes, what they are doing is they are extending an existing tax that is supposed to go away. And so it's disingenuous. And we need to get back to the point where we have our PBIs, our politicians, our bureaucrats, and interested parties have to be honest with us about what is on that ballot. And until we get to that point, we need to say no. And if you look within the body of the question, if it says, Article 10, Section 20, I think it is, that is TABOR, Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights, and that means that they are trying to get around that. And so be sure and vote no on those things. And so let's get into the day. As we look at these issues, first of all, I needed to make a clarification. I had said something on Friday morning when we had all these school board candidates in, and I need to clarify. I recommended voting for only one candidate. So for example, with Natella Manutseva, she is one candidate among five. And if you, and I think you can vote for two or three there. And if you vote for two, and then you may be diluting your vote when you vote for Natella. So I would recommend just vote for Natella there. But then over in some of the other districts, we have two good, solid, conservative candidates that are running for possibly two seats. So be sure to make sure that you know your candidates. And in those cases, do vote for more than one. And so I needed to clarify that because you know, if you've got two good candidates for two seats, you want to make sure that you cast your votes for both of them. And let's see. Let's go ahead. All these things, we look at these as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. Steve, I think that you sent me a meme the other on Friday, and you said you can vote your way into socialism, but you have to have a firearm to get back out of it.
Yeah, it read you have to shoot your way out of it.
Yeah.
And the picture was very gripping because it was obviously, you know, it was a woman holding up a rifle in a kind of a revolutionary tone. That's the way the picture kind of set in your mind that this was something obviously not good. And they were trying to deal with something that was just, you know, needed the strongest of force to be dealt with.
Well, that's what's so unique about the American idea is that this is a country that was founded on the consent of the governed, and government's supposed to stay within a certain box, and government has been growing and growing and growing and growing. And if we, if CC, and I think it's hit or miss on what's going to happen with CC. So every no vote is so important. Also recommending a no vote on DD. But on CC, basically, this is just another really big step that government will now say that we will keep your tax, your Tabor tax refunds forever. And so it feeds the beast. The more money that goes in there, it just feeds this beast that keeps getting bigger and bigger here in Colorado. We continue to see the socialization of key things in our that make our lives better, like transportation, education, energy, housing, water, broadband, and data. And on that note, Steve, I was thinking a lot about this whole DD and water. You know, water is very precious. And I was watching a number of the comments that have been going through on the Voter's Guide. And somebody said, you know, they made the comment, you know, clean air, clean water, you know, that is really important. And totally agree with you on that. But when government gets involved, it makes a resource more limited and the cost goes up. And I was just thinking about water. We need to unleash the creativity and innovation, like what happened in hydraulic fracturing over in the oil and gas industry. Do you remember, Steve, we were dependent on the Middle East back in the 70s and the 80s for our oil and gas? Certainly that changes the geopolitical landscape significantly. And then our kids were taught that oil and gas, that was just a limited resource, we're going to run out of it. And then you add in the creativity and innovation of the human mind and that came up with hydraulic fracturing. And we are now a net exporter of natural gas. We are now energy independent. And so why don't we unleash what we can do with that with water as well? But if people can control water, then in essence, they can control the people. And so I am all for being good stewards of our air, our water, our land. But I'm also would recommend that we unleash the creativity and innovation of people instead of trying to tap it down. And that is what government does. It looks at it as a limited resource and we've got to control it. I think that if we got serious about this, we could do some really creative things, Steve.
I'm old enough, been around here long enough to remember what happened with a little thing called the Two Forks Dam project in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And basically you let the environmentalists roll in and roll over the whole project. Mm-hmm. And basically it's gone. I mean, we just never did it. In terms of trying to just logically go ahead and keep extending our water storage capacity, knowing what was coming on the Front Range in terms of development. But again, the environmentalists won out, and there has been nothing that I can see in terms of a broad scale extension of our water storage capacity.
Well, and so I'm going to jump over here then on that. You know, we've been talking about these quote unquote economic development dollars. Government has been subsidizing, it's been giving grants and a variety, you know, tax incentives to businesses to come here to bring people, more and more people here. So we're using government to bring more people here, but yet government has not taken a look at just what that means from a water storage standpoint. And so if you need a reason to vote no on Prop CC, we've got over $1 billion. And they're all related to corporate welfare. If the state needs more money, why are tax incentives, credits, grants given to corporations? According to Good Jobs First, Colorado Tracker, the Colorado Office of Economic Development and International Trade through the Enterprise Zone Program offered 32 separate tax credits and rebates in the years 2009 to 2017, one grant in 2012, and one training reimbursement in 2017 to DaVita Healthcare, which is a healthcare company with a market cap of $9.27 billion. They do business under the names DaVita, Total Renal Care, Brighton Dialysis Center, to name a few. They received about $8.3 million. So the grand total for the past 16 working days of our discussion, all offers accepted by corporations given subsidies, including tax and incremental financing, TIFs, by the state of Colorado agencies, is just about $1.3 billion. So one has to ask, why on earth do we have PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties have this ballot question on the ballot saying, hey, hardworking Coloradans, it's not that much money. You're not going to get that much on your Tabor tax refunds, so just give it to us. And we like to make the point that DaVita Healthcare and other companies we're discussing are successful companies on their own. They do not need government money to maintain their success. We believe the free market should stand alone without any government interference. It's better to cut taxes across the board without any preferential treatment for chosen companies that allows the government to pick winners and losers. And I think if you need a reason to vote no on CC and on DD, there's $1.3 billion that we have highlighted over the last 16 days. Let's go ahead and let's do our inspiration. I have never really heard of this guy, Robert Heinlein. And he was an American science fiction author. He was an aeronautical engineer and a retired naval officer. He became one of the first American science fiction writers to break into the mainstream magazines such as the Saturday Evening Post in the late 1940s. He was born in 1907 and he died in 1988. And he said, a dying culture invariably exhibits personal rudeness, bad manners, lack of consideration for others in minor manners. A loss of politeness, of gentle manners, is more significant than is a riot.
You know, I have a thing for these things when they come out and they nail the current culture here and now. And maybe these words were spoken 80, 100 years ago or more.
Sometimes they are, yeah.
And boy, do they nail us. Look at, you know, the fun and games on the roads with people and the things they do in the confines of their car and or their vehicle.
Facebook,
yeah, I guess. And occasionally, actually face-to-face in the public arena. Now, you have noted several times that you come in to this building and people are generally upbeat. They'll smile at you. They'll say good morning and this, this, and that. But yet there's something bigger going down here. And again, it's the downward slope of this culture, the downward slide.
We need to bring back good manners.
Yep.
And this isn't the first time that societies have gotten into this situation. But we need to be teaching our kids good manners at school instead of this whole victimization. I did see No Safe Spaces on Friday night. Very good film. And be sure and check that out. It's showing in different areas here in Colorado right now. But I think what I was surprised about, Steve, is that the amount, like on Berkeley, the amount of destruction that was done at Berkeley regarding some of the speakers that were coming, it was just astounding to me, the destruction and the vitriol. And I was just a little bit surprised on that. So this is a very important film, No Safe Spaces. Be sure and check that out. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, I'm going to leave you on a lighter note. I've got the funnies. Ready?
Yep.
Okay. And since we're talking about taxes, we'll be talking with Douglas Bruce about taxes here in the third and fourth segment. This is anonymous. It says, one difference between death and taxes is that death doesn't get worse every time Congress meets.
Yeah.
Mark Twain, what's the difference between a taxidermist and a tax collector? The taxidermist takes only your skin. And lastly, Soupy Sales. He was a comedian when I was a kid. He said, I figured out why Uncle Sam wears such a tall hat. It comes in handy when he passes it around.
Yes, if you didn't laugh, you'd cry.
That's true. So, hey, let's go to break. When we come back, we will continue on with some headlines. Jason McBride will be here at the bottom of the hour, and then Douglas Bruce, the architect of Tabor, Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights, in segments 3 and 4. We'll be right back.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans who live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day.
Catch all the games at Hooters and enjoy a Bud or Bud Light draft with 10 boneless wings, just $10. Dine for two with the pitcher and nachos, just $20.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. it is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
I will rolling downhill like a snowball.
Hey, welcome back. I am Kim Munson. This is the Kim Munson Show. I was thinking about the song there. I was wondering, are we rolling downhill with what's going on here in Washington, D.C.? Steve, this whole impeachment thing, we've not had time to really talk about it last week because we've been so focused on the Colorado elections. But, it almost makes your head spin on what is happening in Washington, D.C. right now. And I was talking to somebody, they said I really think Trump is in trouble on this. And I'm like, really? It looks to me like he's probably being Kavanaugh'd, if you will. This whistleblower, I think, is nothing more than a Democrat operative. But let's play that soundbite that you found, Steve.
This is Representative Al Green from Texas, and I think many people listening here and now probably have heard this a time or two, but you want to get into this discussion. Here's the starting point on any discussion on impeachment.
Congressman, are you concerned that impeachment talk may actually help the president's reelection?
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected. If we don't impeach him, he will say he has been vindicated.
Now, can I play that again? I mean, just Al's response.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected. If we don't impeach him, he will say he has been vindicated.
Is that just takes my breath away. Basically, an open admission is like, we don't have anything to stop this guy except this.
Mm-hmm.
And the current collection of, excuse my French, clowns who are running for the Democratic nomination, I mean, the party's just looking out there and saying, well, nobody's got what it takes to do this, so we better get rid of this guy or tar and feather him with impeachment, and then maybe that's the way we can win in 2020.
Well, and, you know, a couple of things. First of all, they are not, the Democrats are not doing what they need. There are things that people have sent them back to Washington, D.C. to do, to govern. And all they are focused on is this whole impeachment thing. And the reason is, Steve, is because Donald Trump has come in and he has turned all of these PBIs, these politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties that live off of, like pariahs, live off of the money that is earned by hardworking Coloradans and Americans. They are living off of that. And Donald Trump has come in and he has said, no more. You know what, we are going to try to get this ship turned around, and he's doing what he promised he would do, and there really is a deep state. And I think he's got the goods on them, and I think that is one of the reasons why that they are out there on all these Sunday shows, and my gosh, Nancy Pelosi opining about we really don't want to do this, and we need to pray about this. It's like, really? I mean, I'm just shocked.
She really makes me ill. I mean, literally ill. I feel this negative, very dark, foreboding feeling. And was Schiff, I guess he also said something too last week. It gives us no pleasure, baloney.
Right.
I mean, that's pure and simple baloney. I guess what gets me the most is that here's an opportunity. People our age, and let's not go there, but we've been watching what career politicians have been doing to us for the last 30 years. And along comes a guy like Trump and gets the attention of middle-class people, working people, middle-class voters, and they give him a try. And he's doing great things. And we are going to squander the opportunity to do more, to fix all that has gone wrong in the last 30 years.
I know. It's astounding. And quite frankly, I mean, we're 1 year out until the next election. Why don't we just let the American people speak? But they need to have this circus going on, because people that are just kind of paying attention and just watching the mainstream media and getting those headlines, it's putting questions in their minds about what is going on. And that is the strategy, is to try to confuse people, and hopefully they're trying to chip away at his base. And I think that's what's going on.
You're 100% correct that let's just keep blasting away with some of the asinine things that we have in our arsenal in hopes of snagging one voter at a time, or, you know, whatever the number is. And, you know, in that little short time that they've got, we've got their attention, we'll put a seed in their mm-hmm. mind. Because we know that they're not going to do any research. We know that they're not going to go check things out for themselves. And, I mean, you see it plainly in the anti-Trump gatherings that are out there. And they'll stick a microphone in their face and say, why do you hate Trump so much? And they cannot articulate. They cannot form an argument. All they know is something somewhere told them that Trump's no good. And that's why I'm out here being a jerk.
And on that note, Jason McBride, what do you think about this impeachment thing?
On that note, here I am being a jerk. On that note, here comes another jerk onto the show. Thanks, Kim.
Sorry.
That's not
that.
What I said.
That's not what we said, Jason. So, but hey, we haven't had a chance to talk about a couple of these things that I wanted to talk about. And the October jobs report came out on Friday, and I understand that it was better than expected.
Yeah, it was. We created 128,000 new jobs. The estimate was somewhere between 75 and 89,000, so kind of blew that number out of the water. And the unemployment rate, Kim, stayed the same at a very low 3.6%.
Okay, so that seems like that's all good news. What about, I had seen something that manufacturing employment had decreased in October, but I thought it had been very good. And so I asked you about that. What did you find out about that?
Well, there's a couple of things. The first piece is manufacturing employment in the jobs report decreased by 36,000. But within that, employment in the motor vehicles and parts went down by 42,000 because of the strike at GM. So if the GM workers hadn't been on strike, manufacturing jobs actually would have increased by 6,000. So that was maybe more of that fake news type stuff.
Yeah, and this was the first time that I'd heard that for 35 months that manufacturing jobs had gone up, and I hadn't heard that until they said that they had gone down this last month. So they like to report the bad news on that.
Right. Now, that the 35 months is a separate thing. They're talking about the ISM Manufacturing Index. And we can talk about that as well, Kim. We might have to wait till tomorrow.
Okay. What about another thing that you look at, Jason, is the labor participation rate?
Yeah, the labor participation rate, let's look back in October 2018, it was 62.9%, and unemployment was 3.8%. Well, this latest report, the labor participation rate was 63.3%, and the unemployment rate was lower at 3.6%.
Wow. And I remember us discussing the labor participation rate when you were doing that green apples and red apples story. And you said as more new people jump into the available to work basket, it can push the unemployment rate higher, even if more people are actually working. So what do those numbers tell us?
Well, the raw numbers, Kim, tell us this. Over the last year, about 1,670,000 new people have gone from kind of the basket of not even looking for work into the basket that says I'm available to work. Now, the economy's been strong enough to absorb all of those people plus more into the actual workforce, because the total number of people working over the last year has increased by 1,928,000.
You know, and that's really astounding, because that is changing the lives of almost 2 million people. I mean, that's pretty amazing, Jason.
Yeah, I think it is. It's certainly better than the other way around, and seeing 2 million people lose their jobs, I'll agree with that for sure.
Well, and so then also, what about the revised things? We talked about the revised numbers, and they come out, and you'd explain that there's two different reporting agencies. So what does that say?
Right. Well, the revised numbers come out about a month after the original numbers, and then the final revision, I think, comes out about 2 months later. So there wasn't a lot of good news for the Democrats in that area either. They revised the August jobs numbers up by 51,000 from 168 to 219,000 jobs created. And September, which had come in at 136,000, got revised up to 180,000. So with these revisions, the employment gains in August and September combined were 95,000 higher than previously reported.
You know, it seems like I don't hear much about these revised numbers when they're so good.
No, you only hear about them when they're bad.
Okay. And, you know, we were going to talk about some other things as well, but let's hold on to that until tomorrow, Jason. But we are now into November. I mean, yes. I can't believe it, but we are into November, and there are some things that you really need to take a look at by the end of the year, like these Roth IRAs and some strategies there. And that is something that you and your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management can help people with.
Yeah, we absolutely can. One thing just popped into my head when you said that, Kim, to be aware of. If you're over 70 and a half and you have to take a required minimum distribution from an IRA, well, if you have more than one IRA, you can raid one of them to take the distributions from the other. So if you have three separate IRA accounts, and let's say between those, your total required minimum distribution is $5,000. You can take it from all three of them in any combo you want. You can take it all from one. You could do it however you would like to, but each one of them is still going to be mailing out letters saying you have to take it, even if you've already taken it. So that's just kind of a public service announcement not to necessarily panic if you get one of those letters, because they're automatic.
Okay, well, Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, thank you. You always have great nuggets of wisdom. And be sure and check out airpresidential.com. That's airpresidential.com. Jason, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, bye-bye.
We'll be right back with Douglas Bruce, the architect of Colorado's Taxpayers' Bill of Rights.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and one more day. Your ballots are due tomorrow, which is Tuesday, November 5th. It is very important to vote. And one of the issues that is on the ballot is Proposition CC. And what that does, the question on that is whether or not PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties can keep your Tabor tax refunds, you everyday hardworking Coloradans out there, if they can keep your tax refunds forever. And so wanted to talk with Douglas Bruce about this. We've had him on before, but he is the architect of Tabor, Colorado's Taxpayers' Bill of Rights. It was passed back in 1992. And Douglas Bruce, it is really important that people vote and go to my website, KimMunson.com, that's spelled M-O-N-S-O-N.com. I am a no on CC, I am a no on DD, and I give you my reasons why. But Douglas Bruce, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you.
Thank you, Kim. The important thing for people to understand, you can't vote by mail anymore. You have to hand deliver, walk it down, put it in your pocket, and take it to the drop box, not a postal mailbox, but take it to the drop box that the government has to make it super easy for you to vote, or take it down to some government office, that, like the clerk and recorder, that collects ballots. Postmarks do not count. You have to do it in person. If you mail it on Monday, it'll arrive on Wednesday or Thursday, and it will not count. So if you want to count in this election, make sure that your no vote is hand-delivered, that you walk it to the delivery spot, which is not a mailbox anymore.
Well, and somebody, actually Britta Horn brought this up to me with Tabor, the Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights, which is an amendment to the Constitution that you really spearheaded back in 1992, that one of the things on Tabor, the Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights, is that any kind of a tax increase has to be noted in capital letters. And she said that actually in the ballot question that it is in capital letters. Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, it was to be put in capital letters to have it be a wake-up call, to shake somebody by the shoulders, so to speak, and say, hey, they're trying to take more of your money. This is important. This isn't just another bunch of government bureaucratic jazz. Do you want to have happy children and roads with no traffic on it, and blah, 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 all these crazy promises that politicians make that they never keep and they're never held accountable for. This is put in capital letters as an attention device, and I'm glad that people are talking about it so that they understand that this is a step above the normal kind of ballot issues. They have to say, shall state taxes be increased $1 billion or whatever the number is. They can't get away with talking about the goodies that they promise and then say, oh, and by the way, it'll be a slight effect on your wallet. They have to say up front, literally, that it's a tax increase.
So they've really really kind of messed with the language, though, because this starts out with, and many of these tax questions start out with, without raising taxes. But it's a bit deceptive, Douglas Bruce. Explain
why.
It's
a lot deceptive. It's not a bit deceptive. Let's be blunt. We're getting, the election is one day away. Politicians are liars. I've had to deal with them as a county commissioner. I had to deal with them for 35 years almost in Colorado. And politicians are people who will lie to get your money. And that's why we required the language. And I can't make them. I can't keep them from lying, because if you file a lawsuit for somebody saying a tax increase is not a tax increase, it'll be handled by a judge, and a judge will do whatever the government says, because we don't have independent, courageous judges in Colorado. We have toadies that say and do what they're told, not by the Constitution, but by the politicians, because the judges want a pay raise. So the judges want to keep their cushy jobs where they work 3 hours a day. And I'm trying to get people to understand that we really don't have to take that crap anymore.
Well, and they've pulled out all stops, though, really, I think, to try to get Proposition CC approved by the voters. When you look at the amount of money that has come in from out of state, and then Dan Ritchie, a chancellor, a former chancellor of DU, has put at least $1 million into this. Pat Stryker up in Fort Collins has put $500,000 into this.
It's at least $750 by now.
Okay. And you have to wonder, why? Why are they putting so much money into this particular ballot question? And the ballot question is this, and that is under Tabor, Colorado's Taxpayer Bill of Rights, Taxpayers Bill of Rights, there's three things, to my understanding, Douglas, that you have in there. It says to PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, if you, A, want to raise our taxes, B, if you want to incur debt that we have to pay off, or C, if you want to keep our hardworking refunds above, and we'll let government grow at a very generous formula each year of population plus inflation. But if revenues come in above that, that money needs to be returned back to everyday hardworking people. And what is happening with CC is they never want to ask us again if they can keep the change. They just want to keep the change and never have to ask us again. And I think there's something immoral about that, Douglas Bruce.
Well, it's immoral, I think, for politicians to lie to the public. That's the way they were constructed. That's what they've been doing for decades, not just in Colorado, but elsewhere. People consider, if they really ask about it, they have such a low opinion of politicians, but they have to implement that low opinion by not letting the politicians take their money. And the immorality is, the big picture is, this isn't just about money. This is about America. I'm sorry if that sounds corny, but the Declaration of Independence talked about the consent of the governed. And they want to ask us to give our consent on Tuesday, not just for ourselves for now, but ourselves for forever, and our children and grandchildren, and everybody else's children and grandchildren forever. They will never ask us again. They want us to surrender a constitutional right, and they don't have the decency to even put a constitutional amendment on the ballot, but they want us to surrender a constitutional right to vote forever, something that a lot of Americans over the centuries have fought and died to protect. And they don't care. For them, it's just about money. If they can swindle the public on this one occasion, they will do it, and they don't have a conscience, so they won't sleep poorly at night for what they've done. They'll celebrate that they put one over on 3 million Colorado adult voters, and people should not let that happen. So if you're sitting in your car right now, if you're drinking your morning coffee, if you're fiddling with your ballot, which you procrastinated voting on, get off the dime. Vote no and no. All the requests of the government, state, and local for money, say no. You have to live on the billions of dollars that we're giving you right now, and walk it down, drive it down, do whatever it takes to get it not to the post office, not to a postal mail facility, but to hand deliver it. It's a very low turnout. People are too comfortable and too apathetic to do much more, but they have to at least do that as a basic function of citizenship. And do it only, frankly, if you're going to vote no, if you're going to say no to the government. If you don't say anything, if you don't vote, or if you just ratify their returning you to slavery, you should be ashamed to consider yourselves a citizen.
Well, and there is, you know, I think you've alluded to it. There is a sacred right to vote. There's a sacred responsibility to vote as well. And so it's so important to understand these issues instead of just the sound bites. And, you know, the folks that put together this this ballot language were very smart about it as far as they said without raising taxes. But an example that's been given to me is if you go to, say, McDonald's and you buy $8 worth of food, you give the attendant a $10 bill, and they say, can I keep the change? And you can say yes or no. And what's happening now is Colorado has taken, in essence, your $10 bill, and they say, we want to keep the change, and we never want to have to ask you again. And most all of us would like to have a choice in that matter. And with the Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights, it basically says you can ask us if you can keep the change, but it should be on a year-by-year basis instead of a forever thing, Douglas Bruce.
Well, let's say it isn't, I don't call it clever. I want to disagree with you. It's devious and it's dishonest. It's not clever. Oh, look at how they are trying to frame a way to trick the voters into giving up their precious constitutional rights. That's not anything to compliment or commend.
Okay.
It's terrible. It's outrageous, and people are so numb now by what the politicians in Washington, D.C. and Denver and so on are doing to them. It's just sort of like they shrug their shoulders. But you have to fight back. If you're an American, if you've got a pulse, you've got to fight back by voting no on CC and DV. DV almost sounds like a bargain because they're only asking for, in quotes, only $29 million a year that they don't need anyway. They can legalize sports betting, and they don't have to ask us for that. They don't have to say that they're asking because they want to have a tax increase for water. Well, what the heck is that? $29 isn't going to make any dent in our backlog of water projects. But they're trying to say, are you for water? And that's not the question. That's why Tabor phrases all these ballot issues as, are you for higher taxes? Do you want to pay higher taxes, yes or no? And the answer for every person that believes in limited government should be no. The government is run by spendaholics. They're addicts. And we need to make them kick their habit and live on the budget that they've got now by voting no tomorrow and hand-delivering your ballot.
Okay, we're going to go to break, Douglas Bruce, but your website on this, if people still want to take a look at the issue, isn't that Vote No CC? Is that right?
VoteNoCC.com.
Okay, go to that. We're going to go to break. We have Douglas Bruce on the line. He is the architect of Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights, Tabor. We'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. In Fort Collins, attend Vino and Veritas at Ginger and Baker. Kim Munson would like to thank Presidential Wealth Management Loveland, Presidential Wealth Management Greenwood Village, Tina Francone with Straightforward Shooting, and Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week for their generous support. Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Sign up today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and be sure and check out my website. That is kimmunson.com, spelled M-O-N-S-O-N.com. My voter's guide is there. I'm recommending a no on Proposition CC and a no on Proposition DD. Both of those, I have taxes involved with that. And I have on the line with me Douglas Bruce. He is the architect of TABOR, Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights, which is an amendment to the Constitution put in by the people of Colorado in 1992 that says to PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, hey, if you want to raise our taxes, if you want to incur debt that we have to pay off, or if you want to keep our tax refunds, our TABOR tax refunds, and we'll let government grow each year at inflation plus population, but if you want to keep revenues above that, you have to ask us or you have to return it to us. Now, Douglas Bruce, I've had people say that, hey, I've never seen my TABOR tax refund, and I'm not sure people got a check in the mail, but it actually has occurred on several different occasions, right?
Between 1998 and 2002, a lot of your young listeners think that's ancient history. We got back $3.4 billion. People actually got credits on their income tax returns of $300, $400 each year. And people were able to spend that taking their family out to dinner three or four times. But it's their money. They should be able to do that. And it didn't hurt Colorado to grow at a slightly slower pace. It's not a cut. We're not fighting with them over the existing revenue they get. They get the existing revenue plus inflation and population combined so that the government grows in inflation-adjusted dollars for an increased population on a per capita basis. That is, as you said, a generous formula. They criticize it on the other side, saying, oh, it's antiquated. Antiquated. Something that has been a success for 25 years is antiquated. And their idea of a so-called formula is, let us keep everything we get forever, no matter how much we raise taxes by calling it fees and cheating you out of your right to vote again. Just let us have everything. We want it all. And that is, people stop and think, that is not a healthy government, a government that wants it all, every dollar that is not nailed down. And so they're trying to remove the nails on the growth of government and have it grow without limit. And then they can do these ridiculous things like, look at your car registration bill. You know, it costs $10 to register a corporation for a year. $10. You know, a $1 billion corporation. The Secretary of State charges $10. But to register your 10-year-old car, they want $100 or $150 or whatever for every truck, vehicle, trailer that you have. And the reason is that they say, well, that's just a fee. But it's not for the cost of providing the service of registering your car, which frankly costs like a dollar to just say no change on your annual car registration. That doesn't cost much to say that there's no change. But the rate has gone into the stratosphere. It's unbelievable because people let them get away with it. It's time to say no to big government.
Well, and I had Laura Carno on a few weeks ago, and she made a really important point, and that is, you know, they're saying that if we get to keep your TABOR tax refunds, then we will put it towards education and transportation, and those are a couple of things that typically are important to people. But and then, of course, over here on DD, on water. But instead of, if in fact these things are a priority, transportation, education, and water, then make them a priority. But instead, we have these PBIs, they're spending money on their pet projects, and then when it gets to the things that Coloradans, hardworking Coloradans really care about, then they say, ah, we need more money for that when they've spent all kinds of money on all of these pet projects.
When you talk about an abstraction like transportation, the money isn't going to go to fill potholes. The money, it gets into the bureaucratic black hole, and you have no idea where your tax refund went. The money that was the overpayment that you made on your taxes because the government took money illegally. This spring, asked in anticipation for this ballot issue, I said to a state researcher, how much did it cost for that new, shiny, beautiful, multi-story office building for the Colorado Department of Transportation?
Mm-hmm.
It was about $75 million. That's just one example. One example. And they say that money is for transportation. It's not for transportation. It's for feeding the bureaucracy. And it never became an issue because the government steals so many hundreds of millions of dollars every year in so many different directions. No person can keep track of it, nor can he explain that to people because we don't have a football-sized stadium filled with people that meets every month and discusses what the government's done to you lately. And $75 million, I'm just a little guy, and I think that that's a lot of money to waste for them to waste on themselves. And then we have $32 billion, billion with a B, that is the deficit. The politicians have made pension promises for state employees who they want to get to vote for the politicians. And that's a huge amount of money. And if this money goes for pensions next year, there's not a damn thing we can do about it. They can divert the money. It isn't going to go for an umbrella topic like education or transportation. People think, you know, education, that's an abstraction. The money, they say, they wish it would go to the classroom. Well, not $1 of the RefCC money is going to go to any individual named student. The students are not going to get $1 out of the $1.7 billion in excess revenue that we're voting on tomorrow.
We need to hold them accountable, and we need to make sure that we turn the spigot off.
This is
off.
The way to do it. This is Accountability Day.
This is Accountability
Day. It's election time. That's our chance to have our voice heard. But your voice is only heard if you get you took us off of the sofa and mark the no box and drive it down or walk it down to the government office, not to the post office, but to the government office, and turn it in a last-minute surge that says, hell no, you can't have any more of our money. You haven't made our case. In fact, you've lied to us. And when you lie to us, you're making the case as to why we should vote no. If they don't have a decent case to make, then they lie. And that tells us right there that we should be voting out.
Well, and to that point, Douglas Bruce, as we open up the show, I always talk about freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And government takes our money via force. I think that we all agree that there are some taxes necessary. When you put in Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights, you said government can grow at, and their revenues can grow at inflation plus population. So it's not like you're anti-tax or anything. You're saying it needs to be limited. And so it is important that we turn that spigot off and make our PBIs, our politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties accountable to us, the people. And so, as you say, Douglas Bruce, be sure and vote, but you don't drop it in the mailbox. Get it down to one of the actual government voter boxes, or take it down to the clerk and recorder. Douglas Bruce, thank you for this very important work. The ink was hardly dry on the Colorado Taxpayers Bill of Rights, and they started to try to figure out ways to Dismantle it. So thank you for your good work. And that website, Douglas Bruce's website, is votenocc.com. Votenocc.com. Douglas Bruce, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And our quote for today is from Robert Heinlein. He said, "There is no worse tyranny than to force a man to pay for what he does not want merely because you think it would be good for him." So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't serve.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560thesource.com.